What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester, joined today by Hani Amadian. Hani, I know we're all really tired. We were just talking about this off air. You going to be able to make it through this pod with me?
Listen.
I don't like when you start the sentence with listen. It's never good.
It's a Monday. I'm exhausted, but I've been inspired by Joseph Jingling Joe Ingles, and I think I can make it tonight.
Oh, okay. If you can make it, I'll try and make it. Also joining us is Grant Goldberg. Grant, what's going on, man? I know you're tired just like us, but
I mean if Joe Ingles can look as tired as he does through a whole NBA basketball game, then I think I can get through this podcast.
This is now the Joe Ingles podcast.
I heard Hani just talk about him, so I'm like, all right, that's what we're running with.
We're running with Joe Ingles. I mean, hey, might have helped out the Lakers tonight. So
we're rebranding to Joe Ingles Outsiders, actually. This is our announcement.
Site's under construction right now, so... all right. So this is a special edition Monday mailbag podcast. Our first one of the offseason, I believe. I've been out for a little while. Shout out to you guys, you two, and the other guys at Lakers Outsiders and Jacob Rood. I don't say very nice things about Jacob often, mainly because he roots for Duke. But shout out to Jacob Rood for holding down the fort while I was gone. Yeah, so we're going to answer your questions today. We're going to start with the Twitter questions that we got from basically throughout the course of the day, and then we'll kind of jump into the YouTube live chat and see if we get any questions there. But there's going to be plenty to talk about as always with the Lakers. So let's just jump right in. Let's get this one out of the way. Hani, Harrison had a question for you. He asked if you've always been so handsome.
Actually, no. The real glow up happened when I met Harrison in real life, and he has just so much handsomeness to spare that that I got a little touch of it, and I feel pretty good.
This is what we're gonna do. We're not gonna lie on this podcast.
Man, this is quite the bromance already. Okay. Well, that's we've spent enough time on that question. So I wanted to start with this question first. This was probably my favorite question because it's. The Lakers have a lot of cap space this summer, as a lot of people know. And we were asked on Twitter about one of the routes that they could go. We were asked, how plausible is it to re-sign Julius Randle, one max free agent this year, and then save for one max free agent next year? Hani, I'll throw it to you first. I mean, personally, I like this kind of thinking instead of going for it all in one offseason, but I'm curious as to what you think about that.
I mean, number one, it's definitely plausible. Money-wise, it works out pretty perfectly. The Lakers wouldn't even have to make any big decisions other than re-signing Randle and choosing getting accepted by a star free agent to come to the Lakers. And I do like the idea that I think it kind of depends on what you can get this summer. If somehow you're able to get Paul George and LeBron James in one offseason, I don't think you really bat an eye. You just do it. But if not, if you can get one of those guys or some other star free agent that, whoever there is on the market, there aren't that many. But if you can and you sign Randle, who was probably the best player on the team this year and it seems like a really important part of your future, and then give yourself a chance to make a run for somebody else next year when you have a better team and you have a better pitch that you can make to somebody like Kawhi Leonard, let's say, we don't really know, but there's a lot of smoke to that fire in San Antonio. So I like that idea, just as long as it's not, plan A and we're going to throw away the idea of let's try to sign LeBron.
Yeah, Grant, how do you feel about that? Do you think the Lakers should be a little more patient? Or, I mean, if, say LeBron and Paul George say, hey, we want to both come here, the Lakers need to jump on that.
Yeah, like Hani said, anytime you can add both LeBron and Paul George to your team in one offseason, you got to do it. But patience has paid off to this point, I feel like, whether it's been the Lakers' choice to be patient or not. I mean, obviously, they wanted to angle themselves to bring in these star players, but the way it's worked out, they've gotten themselves in a pretty good cap situation. To Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka's credit. I'm not opposed to the idea. I think that, you know, it's definitely smart. You have, I'm not going to say a sure bet in Paul George coming, but, you know, it seems like the writing's on the wall. It's been on the wall, and he's done a really bad job of hiding it. but yeah, I'd like that. I love Julius Randle. I think he, you know, he's been arguably the best player on the Lakers team this year. So, you know, anytime you can, I'm gonna flip this. Anytime you can re-sign Julius Randle, you got to do it. So yeah, I'm for both ideas. If you can get Paul George and LeBron, then do it. But you know, patience has paid off to this point. So if you can sign one of Paul George or say LeBron or make a move for Kawhi and then re-sign Julius Randle, I think that's a pretty good offseason in itself. So there's your non-answer.
We're gonna cover like everything there. Yeah, I mean, that'd be a really great problem to have. I mean, you know, you talk about signing Paul George and LeBron, or, you know, say Paul George and then possibly have a shot at Kawhi Leonard next. I mean, like, these are great options that you're choosing from. I don't know if there's really a wrong way to go. My big thing with free agents, free agency, or, you know, or whatever, and with the Kawhi Leonard trade thing, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but I just don't like sacrificing young talent, you know, to bring in these guys when I don't feel it's entirely necessary. You know, for me, Julius Randle is a guy that's 23 years old and took a considerable leap this season. And we know all about his work ethic. I mean, he did everything the Lakers asked of him last offseason. They asked him to transform his body. And I mean, it paid dividends. He went out and did it. And he was fantastic all season. Like, honey, like you said, he was probably the best player on the Lakers this season. He was the only guy that played all 82 games, which is kind of amazing considering the style of basketball that he plays. He plays such a physical brand of basketball, and, you know, he's the most durable guy on the team. At least he was this year. So, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, as exciting as talking about LeBron and Paul George and all that stuff is, for me, the Lakers, I think the thing that they should focus on first and foremost is making sure they don't lose Julius Randle. And, you know, I know I'm a big Julius Randle guy, but I just letting, you know, a guy that if he makes another leap next year is a borderline all-star player at the age of 23 or 24. Like, if you let somebody like that just go and just walk, that's, I mean, to me, that's just inexcusable. Like, you cannot let something like that happen. So I think either way they go, Randle needs to be in the plans, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And I think it's probably more plausible that the Lakers sign Randle and Paul George and then, you know, save some of that cap space for next summer, maybe sign guys on one-year deals or whatever. The whole LeBron thing, I can see it because that situation in Cleveland doesn't look great right now.
Yeah.
But I also, with LeBron and the Lakers, it's always, for me, been, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, so... Right. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But for me, like, I love the idea of bringing the squad back, you know, re-signing Randle, hopefully signing Paul George. And then if you can re-sign Brooke Lopez, you know, because he has mentioned that he's open to taking kind of a discount if the stars align and the Lakers look like they're a legit, you know, playoff contender. That would be a really good and really fun team, assuming they stay healthy, which is, you know, always a hurdle to get over. So.
Right. I think that if you say you bring back Julius Randle and, you know, these young guys like Ingram and Lonzo work on their bodies like Magic and Rob have asked them to do, and, you know, everybody progresses, I think, am I crazy to say that you can have a 40-win team if you bring back the young kids and let's just say Brooke Lopez and not even sign Paul George? Do you think that their development and, you know, health would bring the Lakers to 40 wins?
Honey, go ahead.
I think it's kind of tough to say just because I think we always expect development to be kind of linear where we're like, hey, the Lakers jumped up however many wins they did this year. It was like 7. So we're expecting them to jump another like 7 games this year, and it doesn't work that way. But I do think like this is a really talented team. Randle being as good as he is and maybe improving a little bit, I don't think he'd have the leap that he had between this year and last year. But I mean, that's
not with that attitude.
And that's amazing, but that's a huge leap. And it would be really inspiring, and it would maybe make me have a successful leap in my life for once. and you know, like Ingram, I think I expect him to probably have the biggest leap next year because he's going between year two and three, and that just seems like a really pivotal time in a lot of young players' careers. Lonzo getting better, so like I can see where that team would improve enough, and like Grant said, hopefully be a little healthier, maybe have a little bit more depth, because I think we saw what happened when like Lonzo especially was injured. They didn't have any backup point guards that were good enough. Word to Tyler Ennis. And then, you know, if all of that kind of aligns, then yeah, a 40-win team is definitely possible, and they could, you know, potentially make a run for the 8 seed or 7 seed or something like that.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this earlier today, actually, kind of the lineup, or I guess kind of sort of the Lakers' death lineup, even if they didn't get, you know, a Paul George. You know, I was just thinking of like the young core, the young five that the Lakers have, you know, with Lonzo, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and then if they re-sign Randall, like that five right there is a young five that's, you know, going to be probably pretty good and just a lot of fun. Yeah. So, I mean, even if they whiff in free agency, which is possible, I mean, we've seen it the last, I don't know how many years, but this year is a little different because they definitely have a lot more to sell. They're coming off their best season in a few years. A team that was really, really competitive. So, I mean, I could see them making a noticeable leap next season, even if they brought back pretty much the same team, just because they were really competitive and there was a lot of games that could have gone the other way for them. And if they were healthy, I mean, that would have made a big difference too. I mean, we're probably talking about a team that I think if they stayed mostly healthy, probably around 500, maybe. I mean, you put kind of play the what if game. You know, there could have been just, you know, different stuff that happened. But no, I mean, the Lakers are just on a really good track right now, and hopefully they can get a guy like Paul George and bring back Julius Randle, and then we'll see what happens from there. We'll see if another star would want to join them, or, you know, if the Lakers would, I don't know, try and trade for Kawhi Leonard or wait for Kawhi Leonard or whatever it is. You know, they definitely have a lot of options that are very, very good. So I'm excited for it. I mean, it's coming up pretty quick. I mean, we're a little over 2 months away from it, and which is crazy because we've been talking about this for pretty much a year now, right? Before last year's draft with the whole D'Angelo Russell trade and all that stuff is when it kind of really started to develop. So
I've actually just forgotten about that. So thanks for bringing it up.
You know, that's what I do. So another question, since we're on the topic of free agency, we had a fan that said he's not interested in acquiring LeBron at this stage of career, which, you know, I do get and I don't get at the same time, just because, you know, of his age and the mileage on his body. But at the same time, I mean, he's a consensus, top two, top three player in the league. I mean, most people will probably say he's still the best player in the world. Yeah. But this fan says he prefers signing Paul George long-term, DeMarcus Cousins short-term, in parentheses says checking health issue, and re-signing Randall. Grant, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? It is doable. He asked at the end that it's doable. I've seen this question a couple times. The Lakers can sign two max guys and bring back Randall. It'd be very tricky. It probably involves trying to unload Deng's contract altogether, or something Eric Pincus wrote about earlier in the season. They can extend his contract and then stretch him to where the cap hits very, very minimal. So there are ways to do it. It's just going to be very, 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 very tricky. But Grant, what do you think about, I mean, if the Lakers can keep Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins and re-sign Randall?
I do like the thought of that. You know, obviously it's contingent on Boogie's health. I've always liked watching Boogie on the teams that he played for. I don't necessarily know how he'd fit, you know, just on my favorite team, like watching him and seeing how he'd mesh. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, beats people up in the post and can expand his game to the 3-point line. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that fits. Obviously we saw Brook Lopez have success, you know, and in providing space for, you know, the offense to operate. But at the same time, that Achilles injury, you know, you don't know how he's going to come back, a player that big. And, yeah, I mean, it's a good idea in theory. I think that you probably have better options on the table if you're the Lakers. And in that case, I'd probably just want to, you know, go with what we said earlier and sign Paul George and keep Randall and then maybe wait to add another, you know, max player next year if, you know, mm-hmm. the LeBron card doesn't come through.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with that. And that's basically all because of Boogie's health. That Achilles injury is just no joke. Like the list of players that kind of come back from that and are still good is so small. And like Lakers fans all know that because we saw Kobe's career basically end because
I'm so triggered right now.
I'm sorry, but I gotta lay down the law.
No, I mean, but it's true. I mean, that is, I mean, honestly, that might be the most difficult injury to come back from, you know, as an athlete. You know, it's like you said, the amount of players that have, you know, suffered that injury and then come back and been very, very successful or even close to what they were before it, you know, that's a very, very small percentage. I've always been kind of torn on DeMarcus Cousins, even when he's healthy, because he's one of those guys that is so tremendously talented as an individual. But for some reason, I'm just not entirely convinced that his game translates into team success. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's like all his fault because most of his career was with the Kings. I mean, that's a pretty toxic environment.
Losing was all he knew.
Yeah. You know, and with the Pelicans, I thought when he went down, I thought that they were pretty much toast. I mean, they had Anthony Davis, so it's like you don't rule anything out. But it seems like, I mean, and you have to give Alvin Gentry a lot of credit. You know, Drew Holiday a lot of credit, their front office credit for trading for Mirotić. They've just played really, really well ever since DeMarcus Cousins went down. I don't know if that's just because Mirotić is a better fit or whatever it is, but DeMarcus Cousins is such an interesting player to me just because, you know, the individual talent hasn't necessarily correlated to like a lot of wins, but he's also, you know, been on a decent supporting cast or with a decent supporting cast for a very small amount of time because the Kings are the Kings. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean,
it's a tough question.
Yeah. I mean, with Cousins, it would have to be short term for me. You know, I wouldn't want to commit a 4-year max to a guy coming off of that injury.
Right.
So, but I mean, I could see where the fit would be great because I think that was a big thing with Randall's development this year was having a center that could, you know, stretch the floor and shoot threes and just open up a lot of space for him to attack inside, which is what I think, you know, helped him improve as a finisher around the basket. So, you know, I mean, I could see the fit there. That's a tough thing to evaluate if you're a front office, you know, but for me, I would be okay with it. Only if DeMarcus Cousins is on a short-term deal, like a 2-year deal.
I think too, I'd feel better about it than say making a deal for him a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because of Randall's strides defensively.
Right.
You know, you put the two of them together, you know, last year or the year before, and you know, it's a complete dumpster fire on that end of the court if those two are on. Yeah. So That would make me feel a little bit better about it defensively. And like you said, offensively, he gives Randall that same space that Lopez gave him.
Yeah.
And just to say, I'm full board for bringing Brooke back next year. Yeah. I mean, if the money's right, if the stars align. And I just think he's a great guy to have in the locker room. And I think that he provides, you know, decent to above average rim protection. And obviously, like we talked about, that space on the offensive side.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think we'd probably all agree that if you can get Brooke Lopez back on a reasonable deal, you know, that's a very good option. You know, I thought he, you know, like you said, Grant was a great guy in the locker room. And I think that the skill set that he brought was very complimentary to Randall's. And just all, I mean, a lot of different guys. Like anytime you can add shooting, especially at that position, that's a huge luxury to have. So, okay. Moving on to the next question. I don't really know if this was sarcasm or not. I mean, Andre Ingram probably is like the greatest basketball player in the world. But whereas which of our two Ingrams has the better future slash more upside? Also, he said, do you trade Brandon Ingram for Kawhi straight up? But definitely not Andre Ingram.
Wait, no, I think the question said AI, right?
Yeah, the new...
That's what we're calling him?
Yeah, AI. That's... Sorry, Iverson. Like,
it's funny because he looks older than Allen Iverson, but he's not.
He's the answer, but through a calculus problem.
Oh, my Lord.
He's the answer to the question, what you know about this? Because that's who he dresses. If Andre Ingram dressed better, I think he would have gotten his call-up a long time ago. He's too good of a shooter to just spend that much time in the G League.
By the way, for those of you actually watching on YouTube, yes, I dressed like Andre Ingram on purpose.
Honey's bringing back Blue's Clues. He's the new Steve.
Oh, but no, I guess that one tidbit is interesting because I feel like some Laker fans would say yes and some would say no. Would you guys trade Brandon Ingram for Kawhi straight up? I mean, I would, absolutely. Like, I love Brandon Ingram, but you're kind of, I guess, with Ingram, it's like you're hoping he becomes Kawhi someday. Yeah. And you'd be trading for a guy that already is Kawhi, you know? I mean, do you guys agree, disagree?
I mean, Kawhi's a top five player in the league when healthy. Yeah. It'd be hard to say no. I mean, obviously, you know, we've grown close to the young talent and like they have a special place in my heart, in our hearts, because they, you know, grow up before our eyes and they develop as players and they make the strides that you want them to make, that you say they're going to make, and they do it, and it, you know, makes you feel good about your analysis. but you know, entirely separate from a selfish standpoint, you know, from a basketball standpoint, yeah, you got to do that. And I'm of the mindset that I mean, not even on the mindset, but I'll make the argument that sometimes it's better to have that ace in your hand coming into free agency to sell these max guys on.
Yeah.
Rather, do you want to come play with Brandon Ingram or do you want to come play with Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
And I think that's a case that you can make. And that's a case that people made last year, last offseason for Paul George. But obviously, you know, we're going to have to wait and see about that. But, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, the Lakers will, you know, not learn from their mistakes, because I don't think it was necessarily a mistake not trading for Paul George. But just, you know, learn from their experiences and see, you know, maybe we should be more aggressive. Maybe we should, you know, push for a deal to kind of, you know, jumpstart this free agency period.
I think the only thing that makes this a viable question is that we don't really know what's going on with Kawhi's health.
Exactly.
Like
we just really don't know what's going on. But at the same time, I don't think it's a serious enough injury where you wouldn't take the risk of trading somebody like Brandon Ingram, who, yes, he has super high ceiling, all the potential in the world, improved a lot this year, and we don't know what he's going to become. But, I mean, you know, if he ever becomes Kawhi Leonard, that's pretty damn impressive. So if you can get that guy right away, then you just do it.
Yeah, the health thing, and I would say, you know, one reservation I would have is I don't typically like trading for guys that have 1 year left on their deal, especially giving up such a valuable piece like Brandon Ingram. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, I just feel like the Lakers will be able to convince Kawhi, because there's been that whole thing about Kawhi not being happy about like his endorsements, like the money he's getting from endorsements. And I think if Kawhi was, you know, a Laker and helped elevate them like into the playoffs, he probably wouldn't have many trouble with endorsement dollars. You know,
even getting a signature shoe soon, or did
I... honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure. I know, I think they were talking about it, but the money wasn't what he wanted or what his agent wanted, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, in LA, that's probably not a problem. So,
yeah.
Especially with the Lakers, maybe with the Clippers. But, yeah. I mean, give me Kawhi.
I feel like the argument, too, is like it's weird because like we say, oh, we'll think the Lakers, you know, we'll be able to convince this guy. And the jury's out still. I mean, it's a new regime and they really haven't brought in that, you know, big name free agent to, you know, come talk and have a meeting. And they really played it coy last offseason. So, you know, we're going to see this new regime come in and try to sell on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing on the Kawhi situation, and it's a little weird to me, and it's a little, like, I'm going to say obvious that the first team linked to Kawhi, like, actual team name is the Lakers. Like,
yeah.
I feel, one, it's kind of an easy target, and, like, obviously it'll get people talking. But, two, I think, you know, when it comes out, you know, this preliminary, I mean, there might be a little weight behind it.
Yeah.
And so, there's a little stock you can put in it, but at the same time, it's like, you know, obviously they're going to say the Lakers are interested, and the Lakers would be stupid not to be interested. But I guess the point of me, you know, telling the story is that, you know, it's all very early, and, you know, you can get excited or you cannot get excited, but you should want Kawhi Leonard on your team.
I'm going to start calling you Rob Pelinka with all your stories.
It's too late. I've been trying to write a paper. And so I'm just like in word vomit mode. So I'm getting it all out right now.
I just want to know what's going on with that Kawhi situation. Like, he's the last player in the league I'd have expected to go through like some drama like this. And it's just, it's wild. You
know, I will say that it's, I'm going to get back into the word vomit, but it's a little smart of him, like, to take his health into his own hands and be cautious, especially when he does have 1 year left on his deal. Because it could potentially make or, you know, have him lose some money. So,
You probably saw Isaiah Thomas literally throw, I don't know, like $20 million down the drain a year because he played through a hip injury and he never got back to that form this year.
Except against the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic disagrees that he never got back to that form.
And obviously, like, it hasn't affected his play to this point, but Kyrie Irving to an extent too with his knee. Like, he had an infection in his knee and he waited this long to get it operated on. So, you know, hopefully, obviously, you know, he's a Celtic, but you want Kyrie Irving to come back and be healthy because, you know, he's a great player for the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was an interesting question to, well, first off, let's get through this question. How great would it be if the Lakers used their first round pick on Jello Ball? I'm going to take a page out of Hani's book and just say, listen, I had enough of the Ball family with the Lakers. Like, they can go, Lonzo can stay. But, like, the other ones, you guys can go to the Clippers or somebody else. Like, that would be even better, right? Like, if the Ball family
stay in LA, yeah.
Like, they can be in the Clippers and, like, they can play against each other. Like, that'd be awesome.
As long as, like, LeVar played against Doc Rivers at one point in his career or something, like in high school, I think Doc would do it. He'd drop LiAngelo and LaMelo.
I busted Doc's ass. He's too small. I've got enough body.
Oh, man.
Never lost.
One of these pods, we're just going to have Grant do his LaVar Ball impression the whole time. All right. This is the last Twitter question that we have. And this was kind of a fun one to think about. I just said, principal trade Lopez for Jordan. I said, may have to add pieces, which, I mean, both of these guys are going to be free agents, or at least they can be free agents. I think Jordan has a player option. So, I mean, ideally you could just kind of swap them in free agency, I guess. But really the question boils down to, is DeAndre, or how DeAndre Jordan would fit with the young Lakers? Hani, how do you feel he would fit with them?
I think it kind of depends on Randall's situation. Because I think DeAndre is, if you take Randall out of the equation, let's say he signs with somebody else and the Lakers don't want to pony up that much money. Then DeAndre is a great fit because he's a good pick and roll partner for Lonzo, and he can just basically attract a lot of attention near the paint, and it will open up space for all the shooters or the ball handlers. If Randall's on the team, though, that's kind of a messy, like, front court, because neither one of those guys can shoot. You know, Randall has to be kind of around the rim. DeAndre does, but Randall also. I could see it working. Like, there's ways to make it work because I worked with Blake Griffin and DeAndre for a long time. And that's kind of contingent on how good of a passer Randall becomes, how much he develops that part of his game. And he obviously has the skills for it and has potential for it, but he has to be a lot better to make it work. I'm not crazy about DeAndre on the Lakers, even though I think he's a really good player, just because the fit issue, because I really do want Randall back. I think he's super important for the team. And also, he's a dude whose game is a lot of his game is predicated on his athleticism, and he's like 30 years old already. So
yeah, he'll be 30 in July.
Yeah, so that's kind of an issue to me.
That's the thing that, like, I mean, I agree with your points. Like, offensively, I think, you know, spacing could be an issue with both of them on the court together. I would say defensively would be a lot of fun. You know, we saw Randall take a big step forward defensively, and DeAndre has proven himself as a very good rim protector.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are ways that that would be a pretty fun fit. But like you said, Hani, I'm not crazy about, because I think, well, it's tough to gauge, I guess, with this market, because not a lot of teams are going to have max cap space. But I feel like DeAndre is going to be still an expensive player.
Yeah.
And one you're going to have to commit to probably for 4 years, or at least three plus a player option most likely. But it's just scary, you know, with a big guy that's 30 years old that, you know, a lot of his game is predicated on his athleticism. And that's a scary prospect. I mean, we've seen Lopez and Randall work pretty well together. And I'm also kind of a big believer at this point. Obviously, it's a little different, I guess, with, you know, more elite talent like Paul George or LeBron or whoever. But the Lakers haven't had a ton of roster continuity over the last few years. There's been a lot of, you know, 1 year deals, like in and out, and, you know, kind of rotating players in and stuff like that, year in and year out. So having, you know, giving Randall and Lopez another year to continue to build on what chemistry they've already established, I think would be really, really good. And, you know, you have that familiarity in the locker room and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I would probably lean towards just bringing Lopez back, because I think he'll be cheaper. And I mean, we've seen that he's a pretty good fit already. So it's like, if it's not broken, don't fix it, you know. I mean, Grant, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'd pretty much just be echoing everything you guys said about it. I think that DeAndre might be the better player, but Lopez would be a better fit. But like Hani said, it's contingent on the Randall situation. I think if, you know, Jordan and Randall are going to work offensively, one of the two have to expand their game outside of the paint. And I'd say Randall is the more likely of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for as much development as Randall's made, that's the next big hurdle that he's going to have to jump.
Yeah.
And so, you know, until we see that, you know, I don't think that you can play that duo together for an extended amount of time offensively, because it clogs the paint and neither are going to get good looks. I think that Lopez deserves a lot of the credit for Randall's. I mean, obviously he deserves some of the credit because Randall's put in a lot of work, that his field goal percentage around the rim jumped so high.
Yeah.
Because there was just so much more room to operate with Lopez, you know, expanding the game behind the arc. So, like I said, theoretically, it's a bad fit offensively. Defensively, it's a great fit. I think that, you know, Randall's really good on the perimeter and can follow guys inside and you know, funnel them into the paint where DeAndre is. But offensively, you know, they're going to be funneled into the paint. And
yeah,
they both need jumpers. So
the one thing I would say that where they're a pretty good fit off from an offensive perspective is in transition, because you'd have two guys that are very mobile, two big guys that are mobile and athletic. And the Lakers, as we saw this year, like to really run and push tempo. So having, you know, two bigs that can really, you know, get down the floor quickly and probably beat their man down there, you know, a number of times, would help them offensively. So, but in the half court, yeah, there would probably be some issues that they'd have to really work out. And offense hasn't really necessarily been the Lakers' strong suit the last couple of years, albeit, you know, a lot of that is they're very young. So that's, that stuff's going to happen. But, hey, I mean, I'm for the Lakers getting good players. DeAndre Jordan's a good player. It would just be very tricky because of his age and how much money you'd probably have to dedicate to him and some things like that. But
I think, yeah, and plus Randle as a playmaker and passing out of the post and into the post, and you know, that'd be a good fit too. But yeah, for as much, for as great as the Lakers are in transition, you know, only so much of the game is played in transition. Yeah. There's still a lot of the game in the half court, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, and pro Lakers getting good players.
Yes. I think just get, let's get some, yeah, what Grant said, good players. Scorching hot take from Mr. Goldberg. One team, and we're on the note, we've been talking about Randle, and this was a comment in the YouTube live chat, that they believe the Mavericks are going to push hard for Randle. The Mavericks are one of those teams that have a lot of cap space. I guess, Hani, how worried are you that a team like the Mavericks are going to come in and try and swipe Randle away from the Lakers?
The Mavericks are definitely one of those sneaky teams that could.
Well, there's the hometown connection too.
Yeah, there's the hometown connection. They have a lot of money. I don't think they're very competitive in terms of talent. They just, like, you know, they badly need a lot of young players. Outside of Dennis Smith Jr., they don't really have much. Sorry to Jacob Rood, but I don't think Yogi Ferrell is doing that much. No, I mean, like, I could see them definitely giving an offer sheet. I don't know how – I guess the worry is that they basically give a max offer sheet to Randle right away and the Lakers having to make a decision on that. Mm-hmm. But I think the Mavericks are kind of one of those teams that always try to look for the bigger fish in free agency right away, and they haven't been really successful with it in a long time. So if they kind of follow through with that before they, you know, make an offer to Randle, then there's a pretty good chance that the Lakers kind of just re-sign him before anything happens.
Yeah. Well, and Grant, I mean, we all know this more than anybody. Mark Cuban hates the Lakers, so I'm sure he'd probably like any opportunity to try and screw him over. I mean, yeah, assuming he can figure out his own franchise first.
I mean, unless, like, he gets locked and, like, unless, like, he loses his car keys and he can't drive around the city. yeah, I think what Hani said, it was the first thing that popped in my mind. They could just, you know, throw a really quick big offer at Randle and force the Lakers into the decision. Although I don't know if there's any, like, any rules against that, like, for restricted free agents.
So I'll let you finish and then I'll kind of talk about what my understanding is of that.
I really don't have much more to add. I think that the Mavericks have always been, you know, the big player for Randle outside the Lakers, but you know, I'd like to think that with the Lakers next year.
So from my understanding, and I could be, you know, I could be wrong on this, you know, I'm not 100% sure on this, but so free agency will start July 1st is when teams and players and representatives can legally start talking to one another and agree on deals. We know teams and players meet well before that. Well, except for the Hornets. Shout out to Mitch Kupchak. And congrats to him, by the way. I hope he does really well over there. So, as from my understanding, with restricted free agents like Julius Randle, assuming the Lakers extend a qualifying offer, which they'd be stupid not to, he does have a $12.4 million cap hold. It's part of a new provision in the current CBA that makes it like 300% of his previous salary for a restricted free agent, which was like $4 million, $4.1 million. So, his cap hold is kind of problematic in their, you know, pursuit of two max guys. But I think with restricted free agents, they can agree on deals, but I don't think they can actually sign offer sheets until free agency actually begins, which I think is July 6th now. I think it used to be like the 8th or the 9th until that whole DeAndre Jordan saga with the Mavericks. And I know they moved it up a couple days. So I want to say July 6th, which could be good for the Lakers, because if they strike a deal or they agree to a deal early with Paul George and or LeBron, you know, those deals could be, you know, a handshake agreement, basically just needing to be signed on the dotted line. And they still have time to match an offer sheet, because if Randall, if I'm not mistaken, if he signs an offer sheet, it would have to wait till the 6th, and the Lakers would still have, what is it, 2 or 3 days?
I think it's 2 days now.
2 days? to match that. So they'd have time to really think about it. And I think it could still all work out. It's going to depend a lot, the whole two max thing, I think, on what they do with Deng's contract, whether they stretch it normally to where it's a $7 million cap hit over 5 years. We talked about the article Eric Pincus wrote. I think it's for Bleacher Report, right? If you haven't read it, go check that out. It was really interesting on a method that the Lakers could potentially use to create as much cap space as possible. And the Deng would get paid for the Lakers or from the Lakers for like the next 87 years. So there's ways around it. I think it helps the Lakers that Randall is a restricted free agent. You know, it gives them some options and a little wiggle room in terms of what they want to do. I just really hope that he's back in some capacity. Like, you just can't let a young, talented player like that, one that works as hard as he does, you just can't let that guy walk. You know, I'm not a believer in that. And Jacob Root is watching. First, he said that the Lakers should max me. And then he told me to quit ignoring the question and asked if I will take a max from the Lakers. I will take a max from the Lakers, but I mean, if you want the Lakers, like, we thought the Luol Deng contract was bad. Like, imagine giving me a max contract. I mean,
do you still have knees that work?
I got one and a half.
That's better than zero.
I've seen Gary on video cross people up, ditch the ball, drain threes. I've seen and he's posted up against me. He has a mean drop step, and I had no help defense in the post whatsoever. But I will say that, you know, if you're looking for superior 3-point shooting, you know, you're looking at yours truly, given that I beat Gary in a 3-point shootout in Las Vegas last year.
This should sign all of us, and we can wear matching suits every single game.
Every single game.
Grant, all I'm saying is Bow Wow beat Lonzo Ball in a shooting competition, but I'm still taking Lonzo Ball, man.
Hey, man, it was 2 out of 3, and Lonzo won 2 out of 3.
Also, Grant is about as tall as Bow Wow is, so pretty good analogy.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, no.
Bow Wow doesn't help defense. Not against Kobe.
It's too bad I wasn't a free agent in 2016, or the Portland Trailblazers would have given me max money. So, I mean, yeah, no, it's.
Are you hipster enough for Portland?
Wears a lot of flannel.
Right.
I did.
Flannel, collared shirts, button downs.
Wow, this one really got away from me in a hurry. Yes, I would take a max contract. So, Lakers, since he has like all the clips of my highlight video from high school, Harrison Fagan is officially my agent. So if you want to reach out to him, send me that max contract. I'll sign.
With your luck, or I should say his luck, he'll get a paper cut from the fax and then be out and can't give you the contract.
Harrison's already got that blogger money. He doesn't need his commission from being your agent.
That's true. Like, he should just do this out of, like, you know, just being a good friend. But yeah, no, that's good. All right. No, we're done. Like, before this goes even worse. Like, it was going so well until Jacob had to ruin it. You know, even when he's not on the pod, he had just to ruin my life somehow. All right. Well, this was fun. Good questions. I really like the questions. I like when we get some random questions in there, like non-basketball related. So for future mailbags, send us some random questions. Not like Jacob's question, but, you know, just whatever. We can be Laker related, NBA playoffs, NFL draft. It's NFL draft week. I'm pretty pumped for that. But yeah, there's going to be plenty to talk about with the Lakers in these next 2 months leading up to the draft. And then free agency is usually a week right after that. So a lot to talk about. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for this summer. It's a summer we've all been looking forward to. It's a big summer for the Lakers. It can, you know, really set them up well for the future. Or if things go poorly, who knows? We're going to find out together. But if you like the podcast, you can always subscribe to us on YouTube. We always film these live on YouTube, which sometimes, like tonight, the way this one ended, I wish we didn't. But, you know, it is what it is. We're also on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. We're on Podbean as well. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or you can always find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com as well. Hani, Grant, before we sign off, is there anything you guys want to plug? Maybe any projects you're working on in the future or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, not me, because I don't do anything, but we're going to have a lot of draft stuff on the site soon. So I'm pretty excited about it. We'll be working a lot. And so a lot of draft coverage leading up until then, and then a lot of free agency stuff after that.
Hani taking the we not me approach and taking it in another angle, another direction. Grant, anything you want to say to the fine folks before we sign off?
Thanks for tuning in, and I'm gonna be pushing for that Gary Kester max contract. Maybe we're gonna put up a billboard in Boise.
You can't fit LA in Kester, but we'll try.
You guys do what you got to do, man. And I'm just going to go into hiding until the billboards are down. All right. Well, thanks for those of you that sent us questions. Awesome questions this week. Thanks for those of you that tuned in, that watched us live, or that are going to listen to this on iTunes or Podbean or whatever later. We appreciate the support as always. That's going to do it for us this time. So on behalf of Hani Amadian and Grant Goldberg, I am Gary Kester signing off.